Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Psalm chapter 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, but in the Lord's word I hope. Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. If you're able, I invite you to stand for today's call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. O mortal, can these bones live? People of God, hope in the Lord.
Steadfast love of the Lord endures forever.
The faithfulness of the Lord lasts through generations.
The Spirit of the Lord is by our side always.
Let us together trust in the Spirit of God. Friends, let's remain standing for the opening hymn this morning, number 328, What Wondrous Love Is This?
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. And friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. Today we gather together for the last Sunday in the season of Lent. Together we anticipate the coming of Holy Week and our journey alongside Jesus to the cross that begins next Sunday with Palm Sunday. But before we get to that point, we have to close out Lent together. And so before the service continues, I have some announcements to share with you. And friends, we're still receiving tote bags of non-perishable food items for our Lenten project with Sunnyside Ministry. And thank you for all the bags that you have generously donated thus far. If you still are willing and able to bring some donated food, please do so by Sunday, April the 5th. And the Easter card boxes for our special friends will be out one more week. Thank you to those who have given cards already. If you haven't yet, please fill out your cards to them and get them to the boxes soon. Now today after lunch, we will be eating lunch. There will be a youth lunch in the fellowship building after our time in worship today. The menu will be a taco bar. There's no cost for the meal, but a love offering will be collected to benefit the programming of the children and youth. And after lunch, able and willing volunteers may stay to help the children pack hygiene bags. It's part of a church project to be distributed to those in need. All are welcome to join us for lunch and for the following activity. Friends, this afternoon there will be another Easter band practice beginning at 2:15 in the Home Moravian Sanctuary. This coming Wednesday, the Finance Committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. in the office building. And this coming Thursday, beginning at 6 p.m., there will be band practice here in the sanctuary of Christ Moravian Church. And friends, as I mentioned earlier, Holy Week begins this coming Sunday. We'll celebrate Palm Sunday next weekend and begin our Holy Week readings during morning worship. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the following week of Holy Week, we'll have reading services beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary. That Thursday, we'll have another reading service, but we'll also celebrate Holy Communion for Maundy Thursday. Then the day after, on Good Friday, we have a full day of activity. 9 o'clock a.m., the children and youth will be meeting at God's Acre at 9 o'clock to clean gravestones. If you have specific requests for gravestones you'd like cleaned, you may fill out the form located in the resource room and put it in the box, or you can let us know in the church office. Now, after the gravestone cleaning on Good Friday, everyone will gather in the fellowship building for a meal and to fill Easter eggs with candy. All are welcome to join for these activities. And if you have any extra candy laying around from Halloween, or you see some in the store you'd like to buy, we're receiving donations of individually wrapped candies for the Easter egg hunt. Then continuing on Good Friday, we'll have a Holy Week reading service focusing on Christ's crucifixion beginning at 2 o'clock p.m. and a love feast later that evening beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. Now on the Saturday, the day before Easter, we'll have the Easter egg hunt here at 10 a.m. on the church lawn. You may join us earlier if you'd like to help us hide the eggs. And then friends, we'll culminate 2 weeks from today. The Easter sunrise service will take place in Salem Square and God's Acre. If you are not able to make it in person to the sunrise service, but you still like to check it out, it'll be broadcast live on radio via WSJS, on television via WXII, and online via MoravianSunrise.org. And then later that Sunday, we will not have opening exercise or Sunday school. We will have morning worship here at 11 o'clock on Easter Sunday. And friends, I do have one prayer request to share with you this morning. I share with a heavy heart today. Sister Melinda Trevorrow entered into the more immediate presence of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this past Wednesday, March the 18th. There will be a memorial service for Melinda on Saturday, March 28th at 1 o'clock p.m. right here in the Christ Moravian Sanctuary. Burial will follow immediately after in God's Acre. There will be two opportunities to visit with the family and to pay your respects to Melinda. Friday, March 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Salem Funeral Home, and then at 12:30 p.m. on Saturday the 28th in the sanctuary right before the memorial service. Friends, please keep all of Melinda's loved ones in your prayers during this time of grief and loss. Let us go to God in prayer together. Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now, and gracious God, today we lift up the loved ones, the friends and the neighbors, all who knew, all who were connected to Sister Melinda Trevorrow in any way. We do give you thanks that she's no longer in confusion or pain, and that she is now resting comfortably in your heavenly presence. But gracious God, it is very heavy on our hearts and our minds that she's no longer with us. And gracious God, we ask your spirit to be with those who are feeling that grief, that heaviness. We ask for comfort. We ask for peace. And we ask in the days to come with those that are feeling her loss, with those that are having to carry on her legacy, with those that are having to take care of the many items and to-do list sections that come when a loved one passes. We pray that there's patience, that there's support, and that there's rest when they need it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray today. Amen. Now, friends, today's responsive reading will be Mercy and Truth. It's located as an insert in your bulletin today. It comes from the newer Moravian hymnal titled Singing from the Heart. You may remain seated as we pray the liturgy to the Lord together. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
The sacrifice which God desires is a humble spirit. O God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, hear us.
Hear what the Lord says. I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Go and sin no more. Having heard God's gracious word of forgiveness, let us now profess our faith. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without
end. Amen. Our first scripture lesson for today will come from Psalm 130. If you'd like to read along, the words can be found printed in the middle of your bulletin. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in the Lord's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord is great power to redeem. It is the Lord who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, will you join me again in prayer? Gracious God, you are a forgiving God. Today, let the theme of our worship be gratitude to you for your forgiveness, confession on our part for where we have gone wrong lately, for how we have harmed our neighbor and ourselves, and the desire to repent, to correct these things, and to better follow the path and calling you have laid out before us. Gracious God, above all, keep us firm in the knowledge that these things, forgiveness, confession, repentance, are grounded in love, in the unconditional love you have had for us since our creation that will continue until our end. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen. The ushers may come forward. Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Now, friends, as previous Sundays, as I've pointed out, and as Brother Matt pointed out last Sunday, we're in a season of lectionary readings where the scripture passages are quite long. This is another one this week that's like 40 plus verses. And so, this week, they're split up again, like I did a couple weeks ago. The sermon today will be on the whole passage, John 11:1-44, the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. But just for the purposes of consistency and of not reading too much scripture at one time, I think it's going to be split up. So I'll read the first 16 verses now, and then we'll sing a hymn. And then I'll finish that passage before we hear the message. So today for the second lesson, friends, we'll be in John 11:1-16. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "My friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. And now, friends, our second hymn will be number 338, "Come Lazarus." And I'll note, we'll be singing it to a bit of a different tune than the one it's set to in a hymnal. That one's not quite as familiar to us. But if you remember the hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," then we'll be singing "Come Lazarus" to that same tune. So let's remain seated. We think of "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." We follow Laura's lead. Let's sing "Come Lazarus" together.
Thank you. Friends, the same story we just heard in song, let's now hear from Scripture. John chapter 11, verses 17 through 44. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of God." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, have you ever been in a situation where you get somewhere, take a look around, and you think, "It's worse than I thought"? Maybe you leave the kids or grandkids with the babysitter for the first time. Despite hoping for the best, when you get home and see the state of the house, the state of the poor sitter, you might think, "It's worse than I thought." Or maybe you come into work after a nice relaxing weekend, look at the items on your to-do list and think, "It's worse than I thought." Maybe you get the grades back from that test you've been dreading, and you think, "It's worse than I thought." As human beings, we often have a knack for expecting the worst, but even then, sometimes our expectations are outdone by reality. We may approach a situation and think, "It's worse than I thought." In reading today's story in Scripture, I wonder if Jesus had that same realization. That same sinking feeling, that same understanding that no matter how bad that he thought things were, they ended up being worse than he thought. I see, Jesus knew already that things were going to be bad. His friend Lazarus was very sick. He received word from Mary and Martha about just how sick he was and just how bad the situation was. He and everyone else involved probably had an idea that Lazarus was going to die from his illness. But when he and the disciples actually arrive in the village of Bethany, they're too late. It's worse than they thought. Not only is Lazarus dead, he's been dead for 4 days. And to us, that may seem like, oh, that is a long time to be laying around dead after someone has passed. But it would have been even more significant to all the people in this story that are of the Jewish faith. See, it was thought at that time, the way they believed, that the soul stayed in the body for 3 days after death. And after those 3 days, the soul left the body, went to the afterlife, awaiting the coming day of the Lord when it would be resurrected. Just like Martha mentions to Jesus, that last day, I believe Lazarus will be resurrected. So that's the situation with Lazarus. He's been dead for 4 days. They believed his soul was gone. They thought they wouldn't get to see him again until the prophesied day of the Lord, the judgment day, that last day when the resurrection of the dead, they believed, would take place. Whenever that's supposed to be, they don't know for sure. So not only are they grieving that their loved one has died, their grief is compounded because they think he's even too far along now for Jesus to help. They know that they're never going to see him again until some prophesied day, who knows how long in the future. And friends, after the fact, reading this story, growing up with this story, hearing this story in Sunday school, hearing sermons about this story, maybe in our own personal devotions or Bible studies encountering this story, I think it's easy for us to accept that Jesus was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead. It's probably one of the first things that comes to mind when we think about this story of Lazarus. Because as I mentioned earlier, and as we heard it read, this is a long story. It takes up more than 40 verses in John chapter 11. There's a lot going on in this story. But anytime we think about the story of Lazarus or somebody mentions the story of Lazarus to us, the first thing we think of, or one of the first things, might be, oh, that's Jesus brought him back to life. In the story, it's just the tiniest part of the story. It comes at the very end. But it is at the forefront of our thought, because it is one of the most recognizable and meaningful miracles that Jesus performs in Scripture, right? Because as Christians, we associate Jesus very strongly with resurrection, because he himself was resurrected, with new life, because he got new life, and he also promised to grant new life to all who believe, with second chances, because of the forgiving nature of Jesus, because of his call for repentance from sin. And so it makes sense that Jesus would show up and do what he did, right? It makes sense to us as Christians, as readers of Scripture, as people familiar with this story, that Jesus would bring Lazarus back from death. But friends, before it happened, that wasn't quite as clear, right? It wasn't quite as clear going into this situation that that's what Jesus would do. When Martha and Mary contact Jesus and let him know Lazarus is sick, there's no urging there to heal him. There's no request that he do something. And we look elsewhere in Scripture and the Gospels, we know that people do request that of Jesus. Just last week, we heard Brother Matt preach on how Jesus healed a blind man when the man himself requested to Jesus, "Please make me clean." And there are other examples in Scripture as well of folks bringing sick people to Jesus, lowering them down through the roof, or Jesus coming across them, or of him hearing about them from far away and then going to heal them or care for them in whatever way they need. But in this case, he gets the letter saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." That's it. Just information. Maybe there was some sort of unspoken expectation, definitely possible. These are people who knew Jesus, who believed in who he was, and who knew what he was capable of. No doubt had heard about the many things he was doing. But if that expectation is there, it's unspoken. All we get in the text, Lord, the one whom you love is ill. Like that phone call saying there's an accident, come to the hospital. There's not much time left. A text saying so-and-so is in the ICU, come and say your goodbyes while you can. An email saying so-and-so has passed away, the memorial service will be this day, the visitation will be at this time. Mary and Martha are telling Jesus that Lazarus is sick in case he wants to come see him one last time. But we don't know for sure that they expect anything specific out of Jesus, except that maybe he will know what to do, right? A lot of people thought that about Jesus. This is a strange situation we're in, but go get Jesus. He'll know what to do. He'll know how to fix it. It's kind of like that other story we read in Scripture where Jesus was at a wedding party and his mother comes up to him to tell him that all the wine is gone. There's no stated expectation for him to do something in that story. She's just telling him what happens. There's no more wine for the party. The only other thing she says is to the servants is, do whatever he tells you. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't even know myself what to do, but Jesus will, so do what he says. Likewise, Martha and Mary probably also have an idea that Jesus will know what to do, and maybe there's that unspoken expectation that he's going to do something to help Lazarus, whatever that thing is. But at the surface, what we get mostly, they want him to know how Lazarus is doing. They're telling him, the one whom you love is sick. Now, whether they expected Jesus to show up quickly or not after getting their message, it doesn't matter because he's too late. Jesus is too late. Lazarus has been dead 4 days by the time he gets there. This is one of the most puzzling questions in this story and perhaps in this whole gospel. Why is Jesus late to Bethany? Why does he stay behind for 2 days after hearing the news about Lazarus? Why would he not immediately grab his disciples and go as quickly as he can to greet his loved one and pay his respects before he passes? A few reasons come to mind as to why. Jesus is quoted in Scripture as saying that Lazarus' illness and death will help glorify him and glorify God. So maybe he stayed behind so that things would happen just as they did, so that Jesus could do what he did. Or maybe Jesus and the disciples were worried about their safety. We read in the beginning of today's scripture that Jesus had been receiving death threats. People had been claiming that they were going to stone him if they saw him because of the things he was saying and doing. So maybe they were worried that if they go back to Judea, to that area where Jerusalem is and the same area where the village of Bethany is, maybe they worried that they would be in great danger because that's where Jesus' opponents are, that's where his enemies are, and if he shows his face in certain places, he might not make it out alive. Maybe they were worried they would get to Judea, be already worried for their safety, look around and think it's worse than we thought. We shouldn't have come. Or friends, maybe Jesus was afraid. Jesus did get afraid after all. Jesus was human. Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane out of his fear and anxiety. So maybe Jesus was so scared and sad because of the news about Lazarus that he couldn't bring himself to leave right away. Maybe he had to gather himself first. Maybe he had to process what he heard and figure out what he was going to do about it. Even if it seems like the most obvious thing to us now that he should have just packed up and left and went right away, why would he wait? It may not have been for him. Because grief can make even the most simplest and obvious of tasks seem almost impossible and hard to figure out. Or maybe it was a combination of all these things, friends, or maybe it was none of these things. Maybe Jesus was worried, scared, and sad, but knew he and the gospel would be glorified. Maybe it's things we don't know about. Regardless, Jesus and the disciples don't leave for Bethany right away upon hearing the news about Lazarus, but they stay behind 2 days before making the journey. And friends, when reading this story, On a personal note, I have my questions about why Jesus left late, and I wonder about that, but ultimately, I don't hold it against him. Because I can relate to being too late. There was a point in my life when I was also too late. So back when I was in college, I had a dog, a family dog, that stayed at home with my mom on the Outer Banks. I didn't get to see him, except for when I was home for summer, home for school breaks. But friends, I've never loved an animal more than I did that dog. He was calm and he was quiet. He was loyal and he was loving. He was so chill. Just the kind of pet that connects with me. He was a big dog, but not too big. He had shaggy fur and floppy ears, black and white coloring. And he was a mutt of some kind. There definitely was some St. Bernard in him. If you looked at his muzzle and at his head, you could see that St. Bernard broadness, that St. Bernard feel to it. But he was not nearly as huge as a St. Bernard either. He had a smaller frame. So maybe St. Bernard or Lab or St. Bernard or a shepherd of some kind, something. This dog had a presence about him, something that made you feel like he understood, like he was wise beyond his years. He was such a good dog to hug and to hold. His name was Riley. So one day, not too long after Elizabeth and I had married and moved to Winston, so after college graduation, I got the call that Riley was sick and didn't have much time. I got that letter from Martha and Mary saying, "The one whom you love is ill." So Elizabeth and I got in the car. We started driving to the coast, but just like Jesus, we were too late. We were still an hour away when the vet arrived to our house and put Riley to sleep. So I was too late. I didn't get to say goodbye in person. I just told my mom over the phone some things that I wanted her to say to him from me. So when we got to the house, there was no Riley. There was no body. He was just gone. And I was too late. So friends, sometimes in life we are too late, and that's okay. Sometimes in life we look around us and think it's worse than I thought, and that's okay. Jesus was too late. It was worse than Jesus thought. When Jesus gets to the house, Martha and Mary both greet him by saying, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." "Jesus, you should have been here. You were too late. Where were you?" All Jesus can do is cry. Jesus wept. Jesus began to weep, as the translation we read today says. All Jesus can do is ask to see the body. There's nothing more to say. There's nothing else he can do right at that moment to help. Surrounded by the grieving loved ones of Lazarus, all looking at him, to be the one to fix it, to be the one to do something about it, and he was too late. The only thing to do is to do what God has sent him to do in that moment and overall with his life and ministry. Take something awful and tragic and make something beautiful out of it. Grant new life where there was previously death and decay. Show the world that there is a different way of doing things where everyone's cared for, has what they need, and can look forward to a heavenly reunion with the Savior and all of the loved ones who came before. And so he does do that. He goes to the grave. He asks for the stone to be rolled away, and he says, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus walks out of the grave. But friends, after he walks out of the grave, his story isn't over. It's over in the sense of the narrative for today. After verse 44, we don't really know much about what happens to Lazarus. We get another verse saying that more people believed because of what Jesus did, because they saw him give new life to a man who had died. But then we move on to other things. Lazarus is left with the grave clothes still on him. We don't even get to see him take those off. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go," and then we move on to the next thing. Lazarus still has the cloth over his face. He still has the wrappings over his body. Now, This has been pretty serious subject matter so far, but I did have a funny thought when I thought about Lazarus. When you think of a person who has been dead for some time, probably smells really bad, cloth wrappings over their body, but is alive and walking around again, what comes to mind? A mummy. Friends, Lazarus is basically a mummy. He's got the wrappings all over his body. He's got the cloth over his face. He's come staggering out of the tomb. And we don't get to see Lazarus cleaned up. We don't get to see him with his regular clothes back on. We're left with mummy Lazarus. We don't get to see him being reunited with his loved ones even, with them celebrating and rejoicing over him being alive. When we leave Lazarus in the story, he's still fresh out of the grave, like a mummy whose tomb has been opened. The rest of Lazarus's story is unwritten. The rest of his life is ahead of him. Will his life be perfect? Will his life be perfect because Jesus has brought him back from death? Will things be different in that way? I don't think they will. Will Lazarus look around at times and think, this is worse than I thought? Sure, absolutely. Will Lazarus be too late sometimes for those who may need his help? Sure. But he's alive. He has a new opportunity at life. Even with the wrappings on and the cloth over his face, he is out of the tomb. So friends, before we get to Easter, before we get to Holy Week, before we get to Palm Sunday, we see the promise of Jesus' abundant life reflected in what happens to Lazarus. Friends, Lent is almost over, and a very serious and sad time is ahead of us as we walk down the road with Jesus to his torture and execution. But before we get there, let us keep this reminder of what is to come after. Jesus cares deeply for those he loves. Jesus doesn't hold it against us when our expectations are not met or when our best efforts fall short. And Jesus gives abundant life to all who believe. We hold these things true today as a family of God, united in Jesus Christ, community of faith, called to serve him, our loved ones, and our neighbors. Amen. Friends, let us look ahead to the coming Holy Week with our closing hymn today, number 330, Hail, O Once Despised Jesus. If you're able, please stand. Friends, as a reminder, we'll be gathering for lunch in the fellowship building right after we dismiss from worship. So instead of a standard benediction, if you'll join me in preparing for our meal with the Moravian blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless thy dear ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. Go in peace.